Welcome to episode 41 of the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
Let's talk Star Wars. Most of our podcast this week is going to focus on store reports and conversations about new Star Wars product. But let's just reflect briefly on the fact that it's only 2 weeks until Star Wars Visions comes out, or less than 2 weeks now. And around social media, there's some new promo poster art for that, showing off a number of the different characters from the different tales we can expect to see from Star Wars Visions. As mentioned before, I'm quite looking forward to this, and we will be talking about this in detail once it starts screening. Also on the topic of material that's going to be showing up on Disney+, a new trailer for the LEGO Star Wars Terrifying Tales has come out in the past week. This is a single episode, a one-shot, that will be screening on October the 1st. A sort of Halloween-style take on Star Wars, done in the slightly humorous, slightly canon-adjacent LEGO style of Star Wars.
I've watched a lot of the sort of LEGO Star Wars series, going back to the sort of older droid tales and things like that, which obviously spawned off the popularity of the LEGO Star Wars games. But it's fun that they're continuing to do this kind of humorous play between the LEGO style and Star Wars. Obviously, people don't sort of die in LEGO Star Wars. They just kind of fall apart into bricks and things like that, and you can kind of reassemble things. So it sort of plays on the brick building aspect of LEGO. It's not just animated like minifigure style. They do play on the notion of building within the stories. But I think it's a fun to kind of take a little bit of a Halloween approach. Obviously, Halloween and sort of the spooky season is very, very popular in the US. And obviously, Disney Plus is wanting to put Halloween-themed content on their platform for the North American market. So it's fun. Obviously, Halloween is not quite of a bigger deal in New Zealand, but that means we do get some fun new Star Wars content that has a little bit of a different style, flavor, if you will, to some of their other ones, which is just sort of comedic.
So we've talked about this in previous podcasts where we listed through the quite extensive and quite impressive list of voice talent that's going to be contributing. The essence of this is that it's featuring Poe Dameron and BB-8 visiting Darth Vader's castle on Mustafar. Darth Vader's castle is being taken over by Grabala the Hutt to turn it into a bit of a tourist attraction. But that's just a humorous premise for telling some scary tales from the different points of view of different Star Wars characters.
Yeah, so with the premise of it being the characters telling stories, it's even further removed from sort of a canon or even, you know, watching things what happened. So obviously the characters within the stories have their own sort of artistic license to embellish the stories with this sort of many dramatic moments and things like that. The listing for this doesn't give us a runtime. I'm not expecting it to be terribly long, but if there are stories, then this is probably not like a little 5 minute like the Simpsons Star Wars crossover that they released some months back, which was sort of like, you know, sort of 5 minute cute little animation.
It's probably going to be along the lines of the Star Wars LEGO Holiday Special that came out last December, I assume from memory, which was actually, you know, pretty good in terms of, you know, entertainment.
Yeah. And I am glad it's going to be on Disney+. We wondered whether it was going to be YouTube or shared all over, but obviously they are trying to put Disney content on Disney+ to continually draw in new subscribers and to keep existing subscribers subscribed. So it's fun to have more Star Wars content within the Disney+. It makes it beneficial for those of us that are Star Wars fans, and obviously we consume Star Wars content as soon as it comes out, and then there's this gap between the next one, and obviously Disney's trying to keep people subscribed through those lulls by throwing up fun little stuff like this. So it might not be up high on your list like the Book of Boba Fett, but it'll probably be worth checking out for some fun.
Now, the bulk of today's podcast is going to focus on upcoming Star Wars collectibles, Star Wars product, in a large part because the Hasbro Pulse Star Wars Fan First live stream screened on Thursday morning, New Zealand time. We'll dive into that very shortly, but I just wanted to talk first about miniature gaming, Star Wars miniature gaming, because Atomic Mass Games, who took over the Star Wars titles from Fantasy Flight Games, are holding what they are calling their Mini Stravaganza, a online event that runs from Friday New Zealand time to Sunday New Zealand time. So depending on when you're listening to this, it may have already started, but it's going to give a decent amount of information, we hope, about what's coming up for the Star Wars miniature games, X-Wing 2.0, of course, and Legion, not Armada, because as we talked about in a recent podcast, They're not going to be developing product for that moving forward, much to the sadness of a number of players, understandably. But this kicks off on 4 a.m. Friday New Zealand time. The key X-Wing updates and previews will be taking place on 11 a.m. New Zealand time on Friday. And they've already leaked one of the pieces from this. Now, coming up sometime soon is a Razor Crest addition to the array of vehicles, spaceships that are going to be playable in X-Wing 2.0. The presumption is that this will be on a medium base. And we've seen pictures of it. It looks pretty good. And we're expecting that to be the case in terms of the level of detail we expect from X-Wing miniature spaceships.
Yeah, this is fun. Obviously, the Razor Crest is popular with fans, like with Hasbro doing their big version and stuff like that. We don't have too many examples of it in a collectible form, apart from the Lego, really.
Yeah, there's a Hot Wheels, but it didn't show up in New Zealand.
Yeah, so if you are a huge Mandalorian fan or a big fan of the Razor Crest specifically, these are very well painted, very well detailed miniatures on a clear base. You can display them without the base, and you can just use them as collectible displays. You don't actually need to utilize or learn or anything about the gameplay aspect. You can just collect them for the excellent miniatures. They are pre-painted. You don't need to do anything to them. They're ready to go right out of the box. So I can imagine this being a popular item, even if you're not an X-Wing player. If you just want a cute little Razor Crest for your shelf, this will be bigger than Hot Wheels scale.
Yep.
Because of the sort of the relationship between the different ships within the game array. So we're expecting it to be a reasonable size. We're hoping to see more details specifically around the size, and obviously for fans of the game, all the specifics about how it maneuvers and the pilot cards and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really excited to check out this X-Wing update and see what else they might have in store for fans.
Yeah, so we'll know more about what sort of additional spaceships and pilots will be coming out on Friday, and we'll talk about that in the next podcast. We're expecting more than just the Razor Crest, of course, beyond the others that have already been leaked and discussed recently, like the Y-Wings and Kylo Ren's TIE Fighter. And then on Saturday, New Zealand time, quite early, 4 a.m., a lot of discussion about where Legion is heading will be taking place. So that will be available online in a lot of social media forums, I expect, if you're a player or a fan of Star Wars Legion. Again, we'll talk about that in any new updates and announcements in next week's podcast. All right, let's talk about the Hasbro Pulse Star Wars Fan First live stream. A lot of products were revealed here, some of which we knew about from previous pipeline discussions. There's some really fun things that we would like to particularly focus on. There's a few repacks and repaints and product rehashes along those lines. And there's a few things that we were hoping to hear about but did not. But overall, it's a mixed bag of stuff that's really quite fun and stuff that's, I guess, slightly less exciting, but will certainly appeal to some people. First up, let's just run through the whole list of what's available, and then we'll talk about some of our favorites and some of the other sort of commentary that we've heard about some of the bits and pieces. In the Black Series, they're going to be extending that Credit Collection 6-inch line to include Greef Karga, Queel, Moff Gideon, the Armorer, a Beskar version of the Mandalorian. These will be available from March 2022. The Credit Collection, of course, are the sort of repainted 6-inch line on bubble card backs where the paint work is based on concept art, so quite different interpretations from the standard line. These are not new figures. Their new paint apps. Continuing the Gaming Greats line, there is a Battlefront 2 Jet Trooper, also available from March 2022. I think most of the Black Series will be available in the late first quarter next year. One that I am looking forward to is a muddy version of the Mandalorian with Grogu and his pram, a deluxe 2-pack. And I know there's a lot of excitement for lightsaber fans about the Rey Skywalker Force FX Elite lightsaber. That's the one with the yellow blade, also available early next year. In the pipeline, we've heard about some more Black Series archives, so re-releases on bubble cards. The Emperor, Lando Skiffgard, A New Hope C-3PO and Dengar. And also in the pipeline, another lightsaber, the Force FX Elite Leia lightsaber. We did not hear anything about the HasLab Black Series scale Rancor, and we didn't hear anything about any new Black Series helmets.
We're relatively new to going full on in the Black Series line. For many fans, it was a little bit of a wait and see where this line will go, because 4-inch is predominantly what people collected for Star Wars for decades. So now that we're sort of fully invested, it's a little bit sad to see not sort of new stuff for us to really sink our teeth into in here. Things like, I really want them to do more video game characters, but they seem to be getting stuck in this groove of doing army builders and repaints. So here we see a jet trooper clone trooper from Battlefront 2. So it's essentially a clone trooper variant when there are
talked about being different on the sculpt was the hole in his back so he could fit his jetpack. I think otherwise there's nothing new about this sculpt.
Yeah, so I'm more drawn to the specific characters that exist in video games that don't exist anywhere else, like Revan, Darth Malak, characters like that. I'm a fan of clone troopers, don't get me wrong, but it's not something that I feel like a desperate need because we're not completionist collectors here. I like the Gaming Greats line, but I just wish, because especially since the last one they revealed was Zolbar,
yep,
from KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, the beloved video game, I was kind of hoping they might have given us Mission Veo, his trusty Twi'lek friend, so that they match, you know, and sort of lead on into creating the full array of companions and main characters from that game. But here we are bouncing back to Battlefront 2 with something that it looks obviously like it's from the game. It's got the specific coloring. It's not a standard clone trooper, but it is a repaint. And I think fans, if you're going to do a live stream and do big reveals, people want to see like new sculpts, new something that's completely new. And the same could be said for the Credit Collection. These are the same sculpts, just with slightly different paint on it. The Credit Collection is kind of fun. I like the presentation of it, but they are much bigger. They're not in the classic boxes or even the new style with the artwork down the side.
A little harder to display, yeah.
They're completely different, and it's kind of hit and miss. You'll either hate it because it's just a recolor and it's not, they're not colored true to what we see on screen. It's concept art, so that some of the colors are brighter, which may be off-putting to some collectors.
It's 5 new figures in that line, which is quite a big ask for people to really commit to something that's not, it's got a little bit of novelty, but isn't truly unique. So yeah, there's some fun aspects, and people might be interested in collecting one or two characters, but it is a little bit of a hard sell when we really want some new material, I think. Having talked a lot about repaints, the Muddy Mando is basically a repaint of the earlier figure as well, but I actually quite like it. They used a textural paint, so he's actually got some depth to the paint apps. And I quite like the recreation of this scene where he fights the Mudhorn and Grogu's force-wielding abilities are first shown.
Particularly since that scene plays a special significance later when he chooses the Mudhorn, yep, as his signet. So I think that that's a fun alternate. And I do appreciate that obviously the Mandalorian is kind of one of the big things of the moment. So they want to push Mandalorian merchandise, because honestly, Disney's all about making money off the Mandalorian right now. We can only imagine the juggernaut that's going to hit us when season 3 starts to get going. All sorts of new variations, new Mando. Obviously, we don't know whether there will be continuing Baby Yoda within the series, but you know for sure there's going to be a very strong continuation of Baby Yoda merchandise. They are not going to let that go anytime soon.
Next year is going to be crazy once we have a bunch of live-action and animated series churning out. I hope they do a reasonable job for each and they don't just give us some, you know, pretty minimal offerings for each of the titles we expect to see next year.
I'm almost a little bit surprised that we don't see a stronger presence of Boba Fett here, because they know that the series is coming up. We have a couple of alternate versions of what we see him in. We see him in his sort of desert nomad full cloth outfit, the half and half, and then his repainted armor. Now, none of those are spoilers anymore. It's been out there for a while, and you would have thought they'd be jumping on the bandwagon of starting to do new Boba Fett merch like we see from Iron Studios, Hot Toys. Hasbro's not really going there with the new Boba Fett sculpts, and I was kind of surprised that wasn't here.
Well, yeah, apart from the repaints, the Mando offerings in this list are pretty minimal.
Yeah, but Boba Fett is a sculpt that's pretty well done. You know, like, they know the helmet, they know the armor. It would be simply just a little bit different below the waist, and the top half would basically be a repaint, and that's a lot of what this is. So I was kind of surprised that wasn't there, but I guess they've got maybe something up their sleeve to tie in with the Book of Boba Fett later in the year.
Yeah, we'll get a bit more emphasis on that down the line, I hope. Just sticking to the topic of Black Series, so I keep things clustered when we're having a conversation about them. Not shown on the actual video, the first, the live stream, but revealed very soon thereafter, is a Black Series Princess Leia Organa from in the Yavin Ceremony style in the Black Series 6-inch lineup. Now, this is on a vintage Power of the Force 2 green card, and the figure for this looks amazing. The pre-order will actually be available on Hasbro Pulse in the UK early and will come later in November on the US website of Hasbro Pulse, which we can order from, you know, via freight forwarders, of course. Very recently we saw, and I think they're available in the US, some 6-inch scale nostalgia versions of the red Power of the Force 2 card backs. This is the first green one, I believe, and it's quite a cool sculpt. It's quite a cool figure. It's a very nice, interesting choice. The Princess Leia detail on her face and her necklace and so forth, and I think she's got fabric out of cloak and so forth, make this to be quite a desirable figure. I believe it's going to be released on a standard card as well, standard box rather, as well as this Power of the Force 2 green lightsaber nostalgia packaging.
Yeah, I'm glad to see at least one female character in the lineup. I did notice that all of the figures that they revealed in this one were men or droids and such, apart from the armorer that's sort of like one, and she's completely hidden by armor. And obviously, I'm a big Princess Leia fan, so I'm glad to see that she was in here, even though she wasn't revealed on the YouTube live stream. But at least we're getting her in a form, and her New Hope ceremony outfit is one of my favorites, and I think the details on this figure are beautiful. I'm glad to hear that she'll come in a standard box, because as much as I love the presentation of these nostalgia heavy carded 6-inch figures, I want to be able to take her out, and I can't bring myself to cut open these beautiful presentations. So if she's in a standard box, that means that there'll be another way to get this beautiful figure that you can take out and display.
So also on the topic of Black Series scale products, as I said, we didn't hear about anything about the HasLab Rancor, but we are expecting to hear something about that very soon. We did hear the unfortunate news that the HasLab Razorcrest, which was due end of October, has actually been bumped to January next year. They put it down to the volume of the backers, but either way, if you happen to order it, you will be waiting a few more months before you get your hands on it. They did show the box that this will be shipping in. It is a box that is strongly reminiscent of the larger scale vintage vehicles from the 80s, with the sort of line art as well as the sort of color photo. But yeah, a bit disappointing that that's been bumped by a good few months. I mean, a lot of people were probably getting a little excited by the fact that we were getting quite close to its announced release date. Kind of curious, how many of you that are listening have actually pre-ordered that Razor Crest and are expecting to get that in hand? If you are going to be getting your hands on one of those, leave a comment down below, because I'd be really interested to know how many Kiwis, you know, went all out and got their pre-orders in for that. Okay, dropping down a scale, let's talk about the Vintage Collection 3.75-inch line. First thing they showed was a continuation of their prototype vintage, actual vintage sculpt, vintage collection figures. We've previously seen Darth Vader and Boba Fett. They are now doing 6 different versions of the multicolored prototype edition Stormtroopers. These are the action figures that recreate the first shots, the sort of factory testing of production molds. And there's going to be 6 different versions of the Stormtrooper in its multicolored plastic. It's a Target exclusive in the US. We didn't see any of the other ones previously in New Zealand, so you have to hunt a little bit harder to get your hands on these if you are after them.
They did note that this will be the first version where the weapon is also a different color in each of the 6 variations. So the classic little sort of Kenner style E11 can be a different color depending on the different combinations that that specific figure has out of the 6. I'm always a little bit on the fence with these. I kind of get the attraction to it. I'm quite familiar with the sort of collectible nature of the prototype figures made in the sort of very bright varying plastics that they use to sort of test the molds and to see if there's anything that sticks out by not having details muddy the full image. But the Stormtrooper is one of those ones where I actually kind of dig it. The other ones, I wasn't so sure. It felt like it was just collector bait, that they just put it out and go, oh, there's 6 different color versions. It's honestly, it's so cheap for them to make because there's no paint apps to the figure at all. And oh, there's 6 different combinations of colors. So if you're a completionist.
People chasing all 6, yeah, and having a hard job doing that too.
So it's kind of not surprising that they're like, this is an easy way to make money. You know, the cardboard doesn't exactly cost that much to make, and that it's a very simple figure on the front of it. But this one does kind of look cool. There's something about that just classic Stormtrooper.
Well, look, the vintage Stormtrooper was my very first action figure in 1978, and I love the quirkiness of the sculpt with his no neck and his minimal articulation. And, you know, I like the jumbo versions that Gentle Giant have gone on to do to recreate that figure. So, yeah, I'm a little bit tempted by this, to be honest.
There's also an element of army building with Stormtroopers that you don't get with Boba Fett and Vader. So if you buy all six, it kind of doesn't make, like, as less of, you know, it doesn't seem as confusing as buying six different brightly colored Vaders. Buying six different Stormtroopers doesn't feel like you're just basically army building a bit of a colorful rainbow squad.
Yeah.
And I do like the backing card art for this one as well. It's kind of got like a bit of a pop art style to it as well. But who knows if we'll see it locally. And of course, chasing down six carded figures from overseas can be very expensive, and it tends to be a little bit hit and miss as to whether the backing cards actually survive international shipping unscathed. So I guess we're going to have to wait and see whether a local stockist like EB Games or Mighty Ape might bring these in.
Okay, speaking of Stormtrooper army builders, Hasbro announced what we hope, presume, is going to be a part of an ongoing series is a 3.75-inch Stormtrooper 4-pack that'll be available in the first quarter of next year. So this is a minimal pack, minimal detail box, just with some, you know, line art on the outside, because they're focusing on the content rather than the packaging they state. And it includes four Stormtroopers, three regulars and a officer with a red pauldron, orange pauldron. And I think this is quite cool. I could do with a few more Stormtroopers to load up my troop transport.
Stormtroopers are one of those chronically short-packed figures, because as soon as they hit the shelves, anybody that wants a squad of Stormtroopers, you don't just want one, you want six, you want eight, you want 10, because they're in every diorama scene. They go with Vader, they go with Rebels, you know, you kind of want to just put them everywhere in your dioramas. And it's so hard to find them on shelves in New Zealand, because you know we're all fighting to put more than one of them in our collections. So I'm really hoping they're making absolute pallet loads of this box, because that's going to be absolutely amazing gift to people that like collecting the 3.75-inch line and like doing themed scenes with their figures, not just keeping everything carded. This is not a carded presentation, it's kind of designed to be open. I can see some completionists keeping a set or two in their box, like you do with some of the vintage vehicles where you can't see what's on the inside.
But it's a windowless box, so it looks the same whether it's got figures in or not.
So you can take them out, add them to all your dioramas, and then put the box somewhere to display it because it's got fun art on it.
All right, talking about the meat of the vintage line now, coming out in the near future and available for pre-order this week from Hasbro Pulse. We're almost certainly going to get these in New Zealand through one of the local retailers. New figures that we've heard about before, but we've seen now physically and we'll be expecting them soon. The Emperor, Empire Strikes Back version of Lando Calrissian, IG-11, Tebo, Lobot, and Bib Fortuna. Quite like the Bib Fortuna, very much like the IG-11. In fact, I think the IG-11, because he's a proper accurate sculpt, is a superior product to the Black Series version of IG-11 in terms of accuracy and overall coolness. So there's a few in there that I'm definitely looking forward to. Not sure on the shelf date that we'll see them in New Zealand, but if you really, really want to get your hands on them, you can actually order them through Hasbro Pulse from September the 9th US time, so very soon. Also in the Vintage Collection 3.75-inch line, an expansion of the Carbonized Figures series. These are Walmart exclusives in the US. Yeah, so we've got the same sort of feelings about these that we do about some of the repaints and some of the repackaging. The idea of carbonized figures, well, I'll tell you what the figures are first. They listed the Incinerator Trooper, the Moff Gideon, the Shore Trooper, and the Armorer. I thought the carbonized figures was a really cool idea when they first revealed it, and the Mandalorian was one of the main ones that was available in New Zealand. He looked really cool, and the box looked really cool. But they've gone on to do a bunch of others, and the colouring is not necessarily the best technique or the best idea for every single figure out there. It doesn't work quite as well for people who have fabric clothing or flesh-toned skin or so forth. So some of these figures work better than others, and some of them I don't think are going to sell quite as nicely, apart from those that are really invested in the collection, in the line, and are going for a completist approach.
I think it would have been more interesting if they had picked standard shapes like Stormtrooper, Boba Fett, Vader, even some of the droids like 3PO and R2, and done them in a true chromed finish, like the vintage 3PO, with that actual full one color. And they could have done like the way that Funko does their metallic all one color variants.
Well, Hasbro's certainly done chrome figures in the past, and they've done red chrome ones as well, their holiday special, Christmas special, Darth Vader. And they've worked, they've sold pretty well. They've been quite fun lines. They come on backing cards that have, you know, that sort of stark minimalist monochrome silver and black. But yeah, so the carbonized figures, an extension of the line. The carbonized metallic sort of effect shows up better on some parts and with some colors than others, but across the board, a little bit of a mixed batch.
Well, they even specifically pointed out that the previous version of the Armorer already has a metallic finish to her helmet and her chest plate.
Yeah, which
so
makes
this
sense.
Carbonized figure just has a slight metallic sheen to the rest of her outfit, which is weird
components.
Because it's fabric components, the rest of her costume. So I'm like, why is it a metallic finish on fabric? It's like, I get that there's just sort of alternate versions, they're not trying to be realistic or anything, but that seemed like a really left field choice.
Yeah, well, we always try and be positive about Star Wars and positive about Star Wars product, and without Hasbro we wouldn't have the sort of lineup of action figures that we've had over the past few decades, but this is an addition that is a little less exciting.
It always feels like I know that they must be juggling that what's going to end up as pig warmers that nobody wants and still giving the collectors the random figures that have never been made, the variants and things like that. And you can never quite tell what's going to be popular and what's just going to be sitting on the shelves some years from now. But then sometimes it just sort of feels like there's a little bit of a disconnect between what the fans are saying they want and what Hasbro thinks the fans are saying they want. And this one, from my perspective, feels like it's a bit of a miss. These feel like, because they're carbonized, they're going to have a slightly higher markup. They're designed to be collectibles rather than standard figures. And I get the feeling they're going to end up like what we saw several of the carbonized boxed 6-inch figures getting knocked around on farmer's store shelves. And once the packaging is ruined, it loses its appeal and its collectible nature, because
look,
if you take them
still
out of their packaging, the carbonized effect is very, very minimal.
There's still Jet Troopers out there. There's even still Boba Fett's green, the fantastic green box Boba Fett's, because, you know, once people got those, they didn't need more than one. And I think there was a bit of an oversupply locally, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah, they're not really intended to be taken out of their box, but once the box is dinged, that's it. They're not that interesting anymore. So if you're a fan of them, this will be fun news, more alternates, particularly since they seem to be focusing again on Mandalorian content. If you love to collect all the Mandalorian figures out there, then this will be fun news
for you.
Well, yeah,
look, if you're a fan of them, go to town. Don't let other people's opinion, you know, slow you down, and don't let any of the online gripes about what people want or don't want change your own opinion. Go to town with them. You know, I'm a big fan of the vintage collection line, and we just talked about the figures that we're expecting to see very soon, but there's also some pipeline announcements with some cool additions. An ESB Yoda, always cool. 501st Clone Trooper. Mandalorian Death Watch Airborne Trooper, so from The Mandalorian. He'll be quite cool in the 4-inch scale. Really quite interested and excited about the 3.75-inch Figrin Dan on a vintage collection backing card. That'll be fun.
Yeah, these vintage collection pipeline figures have me excited, because these feel like unique characters that haven't been done in recent history. And I think that's what really gets me as a collector, is I want the characters. Like, yes, I own ESB Yoda action figures, but Hasbro and all collectibles gradually sort of improve in quality and detail over the years. We want the new version of packaging. We want the new sculpts and things like that. So it's fun to see figures. Like, Figrin Dan hasn't been made for quite some time. And I'm kind of hoping he'll come with, like, the different variety of instruments, so you can sort of build the whole band, like the original older era one, where came with the little bag of all the different musical instruments, so you could build the whole one. So you can almost army build them all out. So I kind of hope they give us like a little collection of ones there, so you can fill out the whole thing. And obviously the 501st Clone Trooper, that's such an iconic sort of paint scheme with the blue markings to put behind your newly appointed Lord Vader Anakin during the Jedi Temple sort of marching scene. So there's some fun ones there. I wish they'd give us a few more sort of new characters in there.
Just talking about Figure and Dance, though, because some characters really just strike a note with fans, particularly a nostalgic note. And I think the 3.75-inch Figure and Dan and other Bith band members that came out years ago now were actually quite popular, particularly the fact that you get army build when they're quite novel. But I think they really strike a note just because of the impact of that scene, the cantina scene when it first came out in New Hope, and the sort of menagerie of creatures.
Even though I wasn't a collector in the vintage era, what always strikes me is the random array of background alien characters that made its way into the original Kenner action figure line. And when I started collecting in the modern era, I was always super excited when some of the background characters, like I love my Saga era Effant Mon figure. He's a huge hump of plastic and he's just kind of in the background, doesn't really say anything, but I love that figure. And I want, like,
Hermiodo's quite cool too.
He's yeah, like size. Those sort of random characters in the background that everyone knows, but they don't really say that much. There are so many sort of fun Jabba's Palace, Cantina aliens.
Well, Amina Man in the actual vintage line was just a hit. A lot of people didn't even know where he showed up. The available images for the backing card were minimal. But yeah, Amina Man's a cool figure. Yeah.
I would love to see stuff like that. And I would love to see Hasbro utilize fan votes a little more. I know it's a bit of a popularity contest, but if they take out popular characters and just gave us a bunch of random aliens to choose from, you know, it was like, what from Jabba's Palace hasn't really been made in the last 10 years or who hasn't been made at all? I think that would be really fun. You know, if you're a 4-inch collector, then you've probably got a lot of figures over the years. And we know there are still some gaps. There are things that Hasbro has never made for one reason or another. And I think it would be fun to sort of explore those. And running back to the gaming greats, there's a huge plethora of characters from video games that have never been made in 4-inch or 6-inch scale. So this one's not as an exciting round out. If you're a fan of sort of new product, if you like variations, if you like the sort of exclusive packaging, this is the release for you. So as always, it's kind of take what you love, leave the rest on the shelf. There's something here for, you know, there's something at least for everyone. If you love the lightsabers, that's interesting news. I'm excited to see some of the new sculpts because the classic Luke and Vader lightsabers have been made by a variety of companies over the years. It's fun to see some of the newer designs getting some love in the FX line. I'm very keen to see more photos and more content about that, especially the Princess Leia one. It's quite unique compared to a lot of the other lightsabers. It's very, very pretty. I'm very keen to see how they execute that one.
Okay, let's round out our conversation about new products with a few random topics, things you might not have expected to see. Royal Selangor make pewter figures, and they're generally available in New Zealand, and there's a couple of new products that have just come to our attention that are kind of cool in terms of design. Not the coolest in terms of price because they are pewter, but very interesting that these have actually been made. There are two versions of the Luke and Leia New Hope diorama based on the Hildebrandt Brothers theatrical release poster from 1977. This is also, in essence, the logo that was on the very first wave of vintage action figures up in the top right-hand corner and that sort of gold effect. So Luke with his lightsaber raised, Princess Leia down a little bit low with her blaster out. A couple of versions of quite a cool statue that's 30 centimeters tall. There's a silver pewter version that's available locally in New Zealand and online. The price is $950 for the silver pewter version. There's also a 24-karat gold-plated pewter-based version for $1,400. Expensive prices, but quite fun products. This sculpt, this statue's been done a couple of times before because it's such an iconic image. It's been done via Disney Store and back in the late 1990s, I think, through JCPenney or something, a color version. But I love the iconography of Luke and Leia together like that from the poster and from the vintage action figure logo. And kind of wish they were a little bit cheaper, but I understand that when you're dealing with pewter, then that's what you've got to price them at.
I absolutely love the Royal Selangor line. I'm very fortunate to own the Princess Leia from Jabba's Palace statue from this line. And I honestly was surprised that it was larger than I was expecting. Yep. I know with this kind of material, there is a certain price point for it because of just the nature of
solid metal too, heavy.
It's very, very heavy and it is beautifully done. And I have to say, this statue is really tugging at me. It is beautiful. I just wish it wasn't quite that pricey, but I appreciate that Royal Selangor does ship and stock locally in New Zealand, which is always very, very nice to see.
Now, recently Gentle Giant in their Jumbo Vintage Action Figure lineup started doing some action figures that weren't actually released as true vintage action figures. There's been a couple of versions of The Mandalorian, and following up on that, there is now, coming up very shortly, a Gentle Giant Jumbo Vintage Grand Moff Tarkin action figure. Grand Moff Tarkin was never released in the original vintage line. He did come out recently as a pack-in with the board game from Hasbro. And it's interesting that Gentle Giant are moving in this direction of adding in new characters to their Jumbo Vintage, that's 12-inch line, when they haven't even actually finished running through all of the actual vintage action figures. I'm still waiting to see FX7 in the scaled-up 12-inch scale.
I sometimes wonder whether people's kind of cooled on the Jumbo Vintage line because it was getting a little bit space prohibitive or a bit expensive, continually buying these huge carded 12-inch figures. And I think like things like the Mandalorian and Tarkin are
an attempt to refresh it.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, trying to get attention by doing something new and unexpected and doing characters that don't exist in the original Kenner vintage lineup. So it's kind of fun. And obviously, if you are a collector of this scale, Tarkin would be a fun addition to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do hope that this isn't in the place of some of the other characters in the classic vintage line. Obviously, if you've gone down the completionist road with this 12-inch jumbo line, you're really hoping they do them all.
Just waiting for FX7, like I say. Also, Squidhead would be cool. There's a few aliens that look really cool in that. Yeah, so I'm not sure if we'll see this locally. Some of the other ones, like one of the, I think the Beskar Mandalorian in vintage style is available through Mighty Ape. At the moment, the Tarkin is available through Entertainment Earth, but we may get it through a local retailer as well. We've talked before about the Funko Deluxe Bounty Hunter Collection pop figures. These are a lineup of all the bounty hunters from Empire Strikes Back with the interlocking backgrounds. They come in at a deluxe price point of $64, but Dengar has just been announced and is available for pre-order. That leaves two figures from the lineup of seven. Zuckuss will be next. He's the only other one of the main six that hasn't been made available yet, and that leaves a mysterious final figure, which may be Darth Vader. First time this has happened to us, but we had some interesting news from Mighty Ape. They cancelled orders for the Vintage Collection Zutton action figure, claiming that they were not able to get it any more from their supplier. I was quite looking forward to this figure. A really cool original trilogy alien on a Vintage Collection card. Not going to be available through Mighty Ape anymore. I think some local retailers like Pop Guardian, who bring stuff in directly, were able to get pre-orders for that, but they have since sold out. And I don't think others like EB Games or any of the other big retailers, department stores, are going to get Sutton. So we might have to resort to jumping onto Pop Culture, the Australian website, to bring him in from across the ditch.
This is a bit disappointing. We've had a few cancellations from other companies, most notably EB Games, where they keep pre-orders on their books for a year or maybe two, like the infamous Jedi Revan Black Series figure. When they finally get around to cancelling your orders and saying, whoops, we didn't get this in. We've never had an issue with Mighty Ape, and this is the first time that we've personally had this issue, which is kind of disappointing. They were always sort of like a...
We could count on them.
Yeah, a reliable stockist. They stock such a huge variety of things. Sideshow, Gentle Giant, Hasbro, Funko, most licenses you could get in New Zealand through Mighty Ape. So this one's a little bit of a sad thing. We don't know if it's just due to global events or there was a stuff up or whatever it is this super popular overseas and there just wasn't enough stock to go around. I guess we'll never know the reason behind this, but if you are very, very keen for this figure, we may have to be looking at sourcing it from Australia or elsewhere abroad.
Anyway, he is available from Pop Culture in Australia. I'll put a link down on the YouTube page and on the SWNZ website page for today's podcast. Talking about the SWNZ YouTube channel, I'll just round out the podcast today by talking about some of the upcoming videos that we have in the pipeline. As many of you will know, on SWNZ, we talk a lot about Star Wars promotional and unique collectibles that have been available over the years. And we're working on getting more of that content onto YouTube as well. So a couple of topics that we have in the pipeline that you can expect to see over the next week or so is a close look at the Bluebird Episode 1 cards from 1999. We'll start with the gold cards from the multi-packs. Also want to take a close look at Kellogg's Cornflakes Return of the Jedi stickers from 1984. So if you're a fan of vintage New Zealand Star Wars collectibles, make sure you're subscribed to the SWNZ YouTube channel to get notifications when those videos pop up. That's about it for this installment, so I guess we are done doing talking. If you have any thoughts on topics we discussed today, we're definitely keen to hear them. Leave a comment on the YouTube page or our website page for this podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you taking your time to listen to us share our passion for Star Wars. Stay tuned to our website, swnz.co.nz, for Star Wars news for New Zealanders and another podcast episode next week and every Friday. And don't forget, if you want to have all the latest local Star Wars news delivered to your inbox, you can also sign up for the weekly SWNZ email newsletter. Thank you for listening and stay safe.
And may the Force be with you.